Morning, church. How is everyone? Good. You all look so beautiful. Excuse my voice, just recovering from something. So I'm Pastor Onami, for anyone who does not know me, and welcome to our online viewers and any new people. So we're in the second week of our three-part series, Building Healthy Relationships. And Pastor Stephen did a really good job last week, just kind of starting us off. So I just wanted to recap some things that I thought were really good, like from my perspective. He talked about how, as a parent, your children, you want your children to have a smooth transition through life. And that similarly, God wants freedom and peace for his children. He talked about a man who is at war with himself will be at war with everyone else. I thought that was really good. And he said, if you're constantly being triggered whenever you're communicating with people, maybe it's time to seek professional help. And then he said, we're not called to win arguments. We're called to win what? Yeah, souls, he said, but yes, yeah, same thing. And then he talked about relational barriers. He gave some really good points. So if you're not there, please go on YouTube and just watch, especially just about those relational barriers, because I thought they were really good. So today I want to focus on how, as Christians, we are to handle points of disagreement and maintain healthy relationships. Who's been in a disagreement recently? No one? Okay. A few people? Everybody else? Nothing. Okay, we'll see how we go. So why bother talk about this relationship stuff in church? Like, what's the big deal? First of all, relationships are an integral part of human existence. And God is a relational God. It talks about how he knew us while we were in our mother's womb. He knew us, and he wants us to know him. In the beginning, it says that he created Adam, and then he said, it is not good for men to be alone. And so he created the woman because he's a relational God. Jesus Christ was sent to the cross to cause a relational change in our relationship with God the Father because he's a relational God. When Jesus Christ left the earth, the Holy Spirit was sent as the helper because God is a relational God. Generally, our emotional stability, and correct me if I'm wrong, our emotional stability is affected by how functional or dysfunctional our relationships are. Is that true? Whether it's with our spouse, our children, our coworkers, our boss, our churchmate, our pastors, it affects our emotional stability. The Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. But we know that we have an enemy. And what's the work of the enemy? To come and kill, to steal, and to destroy. And he does that, he destroys through disunity. You see, disagreements, even though they're normal, they have the potential to derail us from the purposes of God in our lives. And they can actually cause unnecessary baggage. Some of us are carrying unnecessary baggage because of disagreements. And we end up focusing on those things instead of building the kingdom of God. That's why relationships are important to talk about. Psychologists tell us that a healthy relationship requires certain elements: trust, honesty, respectful communication, where there's clear boundaries, empathy, where there's good listening skills, where we can find common ground. And then there is Julie, I think I've spoken about these people before. Julie and John Gottman, they are kind of relationship experts, especially in the marriage sphere. And they did a lot of research. And in their research, what they found is that it was not disagreements per se that led to relationship breakdown or divorce. It was actually disrespect, emotional shutdown, contempt, and defensiveness that led to the breakdown. They call those the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is, It's Complicated. It's complicated. You see, relationships are not always straightforward, are they? Are they? I think most of us would agree that at some point you've been in a complicated relationship. In fact, some of us are in a complicated relationship right now. Is that true? Not so simple, not so straightforward, unusual dynamics, not getting along, people who trigger you, but you're in a relationship with them. And then there are some relationships that at one point you really got along, like you were besties. And then something happened. A psychological injury, I call it, that caused a rift. For some, the issue has been resolved because there's been some type of intervention, but for some, the issue still remains because it's complicated. So I'm going to share from the same scripture that Pastor Stephen shared on Romans 12, verse 18. And this is the Apostle Paul. And he says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You see, that scripture is easy if you naturally love peace and don't like conflict. You're like, okay, I can do that. So as I read that, I was thinking about myself. I'm naturally somebody who loves peace. I'm non-confrontational by nature. My husband would disagree, but generally I'm non-confrontational. I like to get along with everyone. And in conflict, I'll find a way to accommodate everyone's needs. I like to nurture relationships. But who knows, that's exhausting and it's not sustainable because you cannot please everyone. Who knows that? So it might be easy for some people, but it might also be difficult, that scripture, for some people, especially if you feel that you have every right and are justified to not live at peace with some people. Because there's tensions, there's misunderstandings, there's offense, difference of opinion, personality differences. But it's always possible to live at peace with people when you recognize what part you are to play. It's possible. But for the Christian, you know, we talk about Jesus, Lord of my life. When we talk about Jesus being Lord of our lives, it means that we give him access to every part of our lives. And so for the Christian, we are governed by a different standard, which is opposite to that of the world when it comes to dealing with these matters, when it comes to dealing with differences, offenses. And we are to live according to the example of Christ, meaning no pride. We admit wrongdoing. We apologize. We don't take offense. We don't hold on to unforgiveness, which is a very difficult thing. We don't look for arguments. We don't look for controversies. You know, 2 Timothy 2:23, it says, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. So sometimes there are some people who will go out of their way to have an argument just for the sake of it. And it says, have nothing to do with that. But that scripture says, if it is possible. It says, live at peace if it is possible, which means sometimes it's not. Especially if you've done your part and there is no recognition from the other party of wrongdoing, or there is no repentance. And sometimes, you know, we've got cases of abuse, whether it's emotional, psychological, or spiritual abuse, where there is no remorse, there is no repentance. Sometimes it's not possible to live at peace. But I want to say, forgiveness does not mean you have to go back into the same relationship with someone. And I say that because for some people, that's the struggle. That's the struggle. Forgiveness, the idea of forgiveness, the idea of building peace when there's been offense, they think it means they have to go back into the same relationship. But forgiveness is a journey. Sometimes it's not possible to live at peace because of matters of conviction, especially if it means living at peace means compromising the truth of God's word, because we have to stand by our convictions. And then sometimes it may not be possible because there's two sides that disagree on a matter. And it's not necessary that one is right or wrong. It could go other way, either way, because usually it's a matter of principle and each person really believes that they are right. Have you ever been in that situation where you really believed you were right and the other person believes the same? Anyone? Yes? Okay. Some response would be really good. So when I first came to Australia, many, 25 years ago, my goodness, I would hear these stories which I found shocking about families that had not spoken in 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. It was like a culture shock. I was like, how is that possible? How do you not speak to your parent over that period of time? Like, what could have happened? It just, my mind just couldn't understand it. And then some years ago, I had a very interesting experience with a very close friend, a Christian. This woman, very close to me, we did life together. We prayed together. We believed God together. We're like sisters from another mother. And then we had a falling out because of a difference of opinion, a decision I made that she didn't think I should have made, which I thought I should have made. She thought she was right. I thought I was right. Anyway, cut a long story short, we spent many years hardly communicating after that. We did the minimal, text here, text there. And when we did communicate, it was very distant and somewhat forced. We still both really loved God. And then it wasn't until recently, after 9 years of a fractured connection, during a time of, you know, when you're sitting there and you're talking to God and you're saying, telling him to just humble you and do all sorts of things. And then I heard the Lord say, you need to apologize to her. And I was like, you've got to be joking. There's no way you would ask me to do such a thing. But I knew it was God. But it felt unfair. It hurt my sense of pride, which we should not have. And it was a bitter pill to swallow. But my spirit, my flesh resisted it. But my spirit knew it was God. So I sent a message apologizing for my part of the conflict. And she called me immediately. And we spoke at length. And we ironed things out. I'll talk about that a bit more later. But I just want to go to the book of Acts, because there we find a similar story. Acts 15, verse 35 to 41. This has to do with the Apostle Paul again. This was written by Luke, giving an account of the missionary journey that they went on with the Apostle Paul. After spending some time there, they were sent off by the believers with the blessing of peace to return to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord. Some time later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left. Commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So what just happened? On the one hand, the apostle Paul told people in Romans, live at peace with everyone. On the other hand, he has such a sharp disagreement with Barnabas that they parted ways. So was Paul being hypocritical and contradicting himself? This really raised some questions for me. How did John Mark feel about being at the center of this split? How did Silas feel about being chosen by Paul over John Mark? How did Barnabas feel about Paul insisting that John Mark was not coming? I imagine that there would have been high tension, high stress. I imagine that this was heated. Because think about the word sharp. It says sharp disagreement. We don't actually know what that looked like, but we know what the word sharp means. And we know what the word disagreement means. It must have been really bad if you have such a disagreement that you part ways. So the question is, should Christians argue? And should they part ways? And is that Christ-like? And my answer to that is, it depends. So for a bit of background, the Apostle Paul was a radical. His background is that he persecuted the church. He killed, he arrested Christians. Back then it was called, they were called people of the way. It was called the way. He was always on a mission. He was determined. But then Christ himself appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he had this radical conversion because Christ said, "Why do you persecute me?" He was blinded for 3 days because the light that came was so strong. And when he got his sight back, he was never the same. So he started to preach the gospel. Understandably, people were skeptical. Not everyone was convinced of this conversion. So Barnabas, the one that he's just had this sharp disagreement with, Barnabas, also known as, Barnabas means son of encouragement, was the one that spoke on his behalf. He's the one that vouched for Paul. So Barnabas was like Paul's mentor to the other apostles. It says that while the apostles, in the book of Acts 13, while the apostles were praying and fasting, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So these people were called by God together. They spent a lot of time together doing mission work. They went on many missions trips together. And if you've gone on a mission trip, you know that it's such a bonding experience, right? And you come back and you're never the same. They spent a lot of time. They traveled together. They went through all sorts of drama together. They were sent to churches together whenever there was a problem. Whenever the Gentiles had an issue, they didn't understand this new way. Paul and Barnabas were sent to go address the issue. But they had this split. John Mark, on the other hand, was actually Barnabas' cousin. And he is the one, he was their helper. They went on a missions trip earlier with him. And on this missions trip, John Mark deserted them. He just up and left. So this sharp disagreement was a serious problem. You see, for Paul, this wasn't just a difference of opinion. The work of the gospel was at stake. It reminded me of when Jesus went into the temple and turned over the tables because he had this righteous anger. This reminds me of that. On the outside, it would have looked to onlookers like, this guy has got a serious temper. Like, what's wrong? This guy is stubborn. But he had such a strong conviction about what he had been called to that he just did not trust John Mark. And so there was, for him, there was no two ways about this. They were not taking John Mark on another trip. So what are some key things that we can learn about how to handle points of disagreement and maintain healthy relationships from this? Number one, be honest with people, especially about your convictions. You might ruffle some feathers. You might become unpopular. You might be misunderstood, but you will be free to be who God has called you to be. Paul was called to suffer for the gospel. He was told he would suffer for the gospel. So he had nothing to lose. So he could not risk being deserted again. The second thing, recognize that trust is crucial in relationships. Relationships that function well have good trust. And once it's broken, it will require great investment to rebuild it. There was no confusion about his stance and why he took that stance. He said he did not think it wise because trust had been broken. And I'm sure some of us are in that place now where there's been a rift because of trust being broken. So number one, be honest with people. Number two, trust is crucial. Thirdly, recognize that relationships can be seasonal and also they evolve. Barnabas was actually Paul's mentor. But after a while, Paul could stand on his own two feet as an apostle and was driven by his own convictions. And it's worth noting that some years later, Paul did actually change his mind about John Mark. In Colossians 4:10, while he was in prison, Paul wrote, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, wishes to be remembered to you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And then to Timothy, he wrote, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. Theologians say this happened maybe about 12 years later. So it was not an immediate thing. But he changed his mind eventually. I'm sure some things happened there that caused that to be the case. So recognize that relationships can be seasonal. I think sometimes as Christians, or especially if you're somebody of my type of personality, when there's a rift in a relationship, you think, oh my goodness, this is evil, this is bad, I have to do something. But sometimes you don't have to do anything. Time will tell. You always just to check that your heart is pure in the matter. And lastly, the one thing we learn from there is that the gospel must go on. You see, disagreement with others, with fellow Christians, doesn't mean the work of the gospel has to stop. Because it says Paul took Silas. Barnabas took John Mark. Where were they going? Mission trips. There were just two separate mission trips. It says that he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So despite this sharp disagreement, he was still strengthening the churches. So sometimes it will happen that there's been a rift with fellow Christians or with other people, But the work of the gospel must still go on. So what does this mean for us as Christians? If we're going to change the world for Christ, then we have to engage in honest, authentic, and necessary conversations. Honest conversations where we tell the truth and it's free of deceit. Paul was straightforward with Barnabas about his stance. He did not beat around the bush. And I believe Barnabas would have done the same thing, but he was just a different personality. It's very important in our communication that we don't lie to people. Stop telling your colleagues that they're doing well when you think they're really bad and you say something else behind their back. If you can't be honest, no comment. That's what you should say. Don't have fluttering lips. Many, many years ago, I was very young, I love complimenting people. And I remember one day, I went to compliment this lady. It was just something I used to like doing. And that afternoon when I was home, I was reading my Bible, I came across this scripture from Psalm 12, verse 1 to 2. It says, "Help, Lord, for no one is faithful anymore. Those who are loyal have vanished from the human race. Everyone lies to their neighbor. They flatter with their lips, but harbor deception in their hearts." It's very, very important to watch what you say to people and why you say it. It's not a bad thing to compliment people, but my motives was what the issue was. Don't have fluttering lips. Have authentic conversations, real conversations, genuine conversations. Both Paul and Barnabas were real to who they are. Paul was a radical. So like a radical, he spoke that way. Barnabas was the son of encouragement, and so he spoke that way. Have the necessary conversations. This is so important. You have to have the necessary conversations. And those conversations are going to probably be uncomfortable because you might offend someone. Silence is not always golden. You have to confront issues. So regardless of the camp you belong to, whether you are the Paul camp, where you're a radical, very black and white in your thinking, or you're in the Barnabas camp, where you're the son of encouragement, you want to give people second chances, you still have to have the necessary conversations. Because if Paul had not said what he said to Barnabas, they probably would have gone on this missions trip with John Mark. But it would have been fake in some ways because Paul did not trust John Mark. He did not trust his loyalty, his ability to stay there. Because you've got to think, when people go on a missions trip, everybody has got a task. So the fact that John Mark left in the middle of a missions trip means that whatever his job was, maybe he was to give out the pamphlets, we don't know. But whatever his job was, somebody else had to do it. The biggest thing of all of this is this. We must not be passive aggressive. Because that's what happens when you don't confront issues. You become passive aggressive. You avoid issues, and that is dangerous. It's dangerous to the culture of a team, the culture of a family, the culture of a church. So all in all, forgiveness is the key. Forgiveness is such a touchy subject in the church because there's so many layers to it. But forgiveness is key. So I'll finish off with this. As an employee, do you need to talk to your boss about your job? As a spouse, do you need to raise an issue about something you're not happy about? As a parent, do you need to talk to your child? Or a child, do you need to talk to your parents? As a church member, do you need to talk to your pastors about an issue? One of my biggest pet peeves is when people ghost other people. When people leave the church and ghost the church and you don't know why. We need to know how to leave well. If you're going to leave a relationship, unless it's issues of abuse, I'll put that disclaimer there, then you need to leave well. You need to respect people enough to tell them where you're going and why, what has offended you. I'll get you to please stand up. Let's just close our eyes. You know, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot address our own issues. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He didn't say, "I forgive you, for you know not what to do. You know not what you're doing." He always redirected everything to the Father. It says when we pray, we say, "Our Father who art in heaven." It says, "Forgive us as we forgive." It's always back to the Father. And so I just want to pray, Lord, I just pray for every single person in this room right now, that in this message, Lord, whatever spoke to them, I pray that it would be a seed that would grow and that this will cause a shift in their lives that will have an impact, not just for them, but for their families, for their world, and for generations to come. I pray, Father, for those who are struggling with forgiveness, Lord, that you help them hand the people over to you. For those who are in complicated relationships, I pray, Father, that you help them know what is the next best step. And I pray for those, Lord, who've got guilt and shame in their relationships because there's been a rift, a justified rift. I pray against that spirit of guilt and shame because it does not belong there. And I just pray, Father, as we go our separate ways, may you continue to work in our hearts so that we can have and build and maintain healthy relationships. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.